commencing countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is the Contracting Experience. Connecting government contracting professionals to the world around them through conversations with acquisition influencers, insights into evolving hot topics, and sharing lessons learned from the field.
Welcome, podcast listeners. On this episode of The Contracting Experience, we sit down with Mr. John McGugan, a contract data specialist in the Air Force Material Command's Contracting Digital Division, and Ms. Teresa Frank, the Cost and Economics Division Chief in the AFMC Financial Management Directorate. John and Teresa join us today to talk about the advancement of the contract data specialist position and how a similar type role is evolving across the financial community. Welcome, John and Teresa. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Rob. We're really looking forward to discussing the development of data analytics capabilities within the financial management field.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me as well. Longtime listener, first time interviewee. it's my pleasure being here on the Contracting Experience podcast and really looking forward to discussing all things contract data specialist.
All right. Welcome to you both. So, John, let's start off with you. You've been running point on this contract data specialist, we'll call it CDS, position for the past couple years. You've been tracking the positions, providing resources, leading flight plan objectives, really paving the way in advancing the specialty niche of the procurement analyst position. So for our listening audience there, we introduced the CDS position back on podcast episode number 47, back in July of 23. Which is still available on any podcast listening platform. Since then, John, with your efforts, we now have over 100 CDS positions across the Air Force, and the concept is spreading to other functionals as well as other agencies. And I have to mention a huge congratulations to you for your recent publication in the Contract Management Magazine back in the March of 2025 edition, your article, Introducing the Contract Data Specialist. So congrats on that. That's awesome. And so again, that's a bit of an introduction and recap of the CDS of what I'm familiar with. Hope I didn't steal too much of your thunder there, but what else can you tell us about the evolution of the CDS? Where did we start? What have we done? And where do you see us going from here?
Yeah. Appreciate it, Rob. It's been an amazing journey for sure. And currently we're up to 120 CDS positions across the DAF. So it's really grown. So really to kind of go back and recap, for decades, we've had this and built this historical acquisition data in our contract writing systems and other associated procurement systems like SAME.gov, PI, FPDS, by which FPDS is our authoritative source of truth for contracting data. And so it finally became time to strategically start leveraging this data to make intelligent data-driven decisions. And so in early 2022, the Air Force contracting leadership provided a thumbs up for us to move out and create this new subset category under the 1102 Contracting Procurement Analyst umbrella titled Contract Data Specialist. So shortly thereafter, we started developing and processing the newly created CDS position descriptions and personnel documents that go for these grades 12, GS-12 through NH-04, both supervisory and non-supervisory positions for A1's approval. And once we had those approved and on the books, it was time to really begin start developing those training plans for the critical new position. So right out of the gate, we developed a full-up CDS individual training and development plan that laid out the 1102 formal training, which everybody's aware of, that's mandated, but also that informal training stuff for like for credential classes through DAU and AFIT, as well as some of the on-the-job training. And this is not mandated training plan, but really highly encouraged and recommended for the CDS folks. But interesting enough, Rob, a few months into that, further down the road, senior leaders started asking us, hey, do you have a tool that could quickly evaluate the CDS's knowledge of current common contracting systems and tools required to build dashboards, information centers, or just other cool tools to make their jobs easier, more efficient for the organization. And basically, a tool that could do a gap analysis from what the CDS is known knowledge of those tools and systems to really what the CDS is required to meet the mission set for that required office assigned. And this is kind of where the 30, 60, 90-day CDS training plan was born out of necessity. We got together with senior leaders, got their input, conducted a trial period for the use of this, and then we cut it loose to the folks out in the DAF. So pretty cool stuff. So I consider that just-in-time training. And then once that training plan was laid flat, we began our CDS communications campaign, really spreading the word across the enterprise with written articles and bulletins, magazines, podcasts, you know, like what we're doing here, and in-person training as well as online Teams meetings and briefings. So really providing those answers to all the questions that folks had concerning this new position. And so additionally, as we were spreading the word on the responsibilities and capabilities of the new CDS position, it was also time to begin transferring current procurement analyst slots over to the CDS, the new CDS slots. So it was a two-prong approach. And as you can imagine, it took the Air Force, we up in headquarters took the Air Force lead within the DAF and began transferring our headquarters personnel up in PK, switching 17 procurement analysts over to CDSs. And so that was a good start, but it takes time for that change management to catch hold and for the senior leaders to really see, okay, what's the benefit of me switching my procurement analyst over to CDSs and to make that switch. So it's been nearly 3 years now, and we're up to 120 CDSs, as I said earlier. And obviously, AFMC centers carry the lion share of the as 99 positions of the 120. But we also see positions now at the U.S. Air Force Academy, Headquarters Air Force Reserve, 5th Air Force out at Tyndall, 18th Air Force out at MacDill, the Space Systems Command, and 20th Air Force out at Kirkland. And so honestly, it's just been a very small portion of the PAs across the Department of the Air Force. So there's many possibilities and continued growth, I believe, in our MAGCOM as well as others.
All right. Very cool, John. Yeah, thanks for that rundown. And again, it's pretty impressive. I mean, you kind of created a brand new position in the Air Force, in the contracting community, and now we have 120 of those positions across the Air Force and growing. So, Teresa, I know at headquarters AFMC, the contracting and the financial communities have already collaborated on developing some data tools. And probably most notably, my favorite is that unliquidated obligations tool, or that ULO tool, right? It's located in PMRT, and it's already proven to be one of the most used apps in that entire platform. It's already demonstrated how we can capture and reutilize those canceling funds before they expire. And your team is very, very talented in that area. Has there been any thought with introducing the contract data specialist concept in the finance community, maybe creating a financial data specialist?
Ooh, that's a great question, Rob. The idea of financial data specialist or something similar is absolutely on our radar. And it really does line up perfectly with a bigger initiative that we have going on that's attempting to grow and strengthen our FM data analytics capabilities across the entire Air Force, both Space Force and Air Force. And we're actually looking to PK and mirroring the successful implementation of the CDS role that PK has rolled out, because we want to be able to leverage their success. There's no sense and reinventing the wheel. We're in the process of building cost and data analytics teams at every command, and these specialists are going to be key members of those teams. And really, to be effective, I think people just focus on the data analytics piece of it, but they need a blend of skills. So they need the FM expertise, they need strong communication and collaboration skills, and technical data analysis skills, and I'm sure all those are in place as you rolled out the CDS role as well. One of the things we've done in FM that's a little unique to help drive the transformation is we created an FM data analytics steering group. We have FM representatives from every single command in this group, and the group is really focused on bridging knowledge gaps, simplifying processes, maybe through automation, and strengthening integration of all of our FM data analytics efforts. I think one of the things this group has done is made connections across the FM data analytics professional network, and that's really accelerated the adoption of data analytics across all of our FM organizations. Just a couple unique use cases this group has taken on. We stood up a cross-organizational working group, and they evaluated and recommended a status of funds tool that we're going to be using enterprise-wide. And they just recently stood up another group to develop FM-specific business intelligence training. We're really confident and excited about these initiatives because I think they will not only improve our financial management capabilities, but they're also going to strengthen our ability to support the Air Force mission through more informed and effective decisions.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Teresa. That's absolutely awesome. And it sounds very, very familiar with where John and the CDS mission started a few years ago, right? You had people working with data, but it really wasn't recognized as its own niche, right? Absolutely. They were kind of dual hatted and they were just expected to kind of know the best of both domains. And so recognizing that niche, right? Getting people the training to advance those skill sets, absolutely critical. So very excited about your journey along the way there.
We're excited too.
So, all right, John, back to you for a minute. So your article there in Contract Management Magazine, March 2025 edition, highlights the creation of the CDS within the Air Force. And so as with introducing anything new, right, there's usually a couple extremes. We get the early adopters that you mentioned previously, and then we get those who are naturally resistant to change unless they see that immediate payoff, that immediate benefit. So let's start with the early adopters. Can you share some of the benefits and accomplishments you're seeing from the contract data specialist position and what they're bringing into their units?
Sure thing, Rob. From the beginning, we knew it's going to be challenging, right, to take on this change. But change management, as we all know, kind of takes time to happen, right, to kind of unfold and take steps. So we knew that CDS is going to be a huge benefit to our contracting career field as a whole, but more specifically, it's going to benefit that user's assigned contracting organization. And since many of these CDSs are scattered across many different organizations in the DAF, we wanted to share all the training and approved personnel documents and put them all in one place. And this is kind of where, the CDS training documents team channel was created to really lay those documents flat out there for everyone to have access to, which in my opinion is a great resource to get these approved documents, right? So additionally, we wanted to place a place to bring all the CDS folks together as well, folks that are currently sitting in these CDS positions and folks who may, or maybe other folks who may aspire to become a CDS down the road, you know, a place to get together to chat, to share, to teach others of their efforts, experiences, knowledge learned. So this is when the team's channel titled Contract Data Specialist Community of Practice, so the COP, was created. Megan Ochoban, Carlos Vasquez, and I teamed up to create this and manage this channel. But really, Megan and Carlos have really done a magnificent job in using this channel to share critical knowledge and experiences on cool automated tools, software, and systems. So the channel currently has over 300 members strong and around the enterprise, and currently hosts, you know, like a weekly Power BI suite. And here lately, they've had monthly sessions on AI news. Whenever a new position pops up, a CDS position that folks can apply for, I always put those out on the channels as well. So a lot of great information. As you can imagine, many CDSs are early adopters of the software use, so they love to share their knowledge and capabilities in this area. Additionally, Rob, tool development and the love of data to develop these tools tools kind of go hand in hand. So there are many folks out there in the contracting community who've developed cool tools to make their daily contracting jobs more efficient, or have developed tools at the request of their leaders, right? Either way, we have a place, you know, out there that these tools can be submitted, reviewed, graded, so other folks can gain those efficiencies as well and use those tools. And it's a place called the Digital Acquisition Tools Environment, or DATE. I think most folks have heard of this, but, you know, it's hosted on the AFMC PK SharePoint site. Right. It's a site that really illuminates current contracting tools that have been reviewed by the panel of contracting professionals, as well as others. And it gives a rating. Really, it's a rating of gold, silver, or bronze, depending on the scoring. And so there's a rubric where 90 to 100 points are gold. And it's just like the gold medals in the Olympics, right? And the silver, 70 to 79 points. Or bronze and silvers in between that 80 and 89. So you can see the gold, silver, bronze. But some tools that are mainly used for in-house that possibly are not shared DAF-wide may get a no rating, which means it's a cool tool and it has a lot of merit, but it really isn't up to that gold, silver, or bronze level that other folks across the DAF can use, right? So it's under a link there at the site called Additional Tools, which is still real cool. So also, DATE has quick links. You know, you can go on there and check it out, but you can click on gold, silver, or bronze, and it takes you right to those tools. There's tools categories of acquisition planning, knowledge sharing, negotiation support, and contract administration for quick sorting, right? So you can click on any of these links and get what you need to get to very quickly. So also, Rob, if you were wondering how these tools are submitted, there's also, right, there's a link to that. And on the DATE site, you submit ideas or tools, and it'll go into an evaluation process where, you know, again, that team of professionals, including, you know, folks up in headquarters that really take a look at these and provide their ratings on it. So finally, DATE has a quick link button, that also can take you to the Air Force Contracting Central Acquisition Toolbox. And it also has a link to get other DOD tools. So that's pretty cool. It's at the bottom there. But DATE, you can also see that if you're looking for a different tool or a different set of tools that can make your job more efficient or effective, or you might be thinking about developing a new contracting tool. So take a look at DATE, bookmark it, and while you're there, and I think it's a game changer for contracting professionals. So DATE site can be accessed by going to the Air Force Contracting Central SharePoint site under Contracting Business Systems or Contract Modernization link.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, John. Yeah. DATE environment. Again, that's been on the contracting flight plan for a couple years now. That's another one really growing a lot of motivation, a lot of traction there with all the tools published. Right. And as you mentioned, some of those might be enterprise wide tools. Right. Used across the Air Force. Others might be just kind of central to one organization. But the idea there is, hey, maybe that's something another organization could leverage from. So, yeah, awesome collaboration there. The idea, maybe also reduce duplication of tools, right? Instead of creating something from scratch, see what's out there before you start. There might be something that's really close to scratching your itch before you start developing something new on your own. So, yeah, thanks for that
absolutely,
rundown,
Rob.
John.
Appreciate it.
Awesome stuff.
Thanks.
So, okay, back to Teresa for a follow-up. So, are these some of the goals or benefits you'd envision from creating a data specialty in the finance community? Or are these things that are maybe already happening from folks that are being sort of dual-hatted as finance specialists as well as data specialists?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Those are exactly the kind of outcomes we're looking for. I did want to mention, similar to the contracting community, FM has set up a team site for the FM data analytics community to communicate with each other, to collaborate, share best practices. And similar to the contracting site, we're seeing a lot of growth there, so a lot of interest. But when we talk about creating a data specialty in the finance community, you asked about creating that dedicated data analytics role, it's not just about adding getting a new title. We didn't want it just to be a new title. It's really about embedding data analytics and the AI expertise within our financial operations. So not necessarily as an add-on, but just a way that we are doing business. It's about giving our teams the skills and resources they need to make sure they're able to leverage data effectively. And these skills and resources are going to lead to better financial decisions, increased efficiencies with respect to our processes, and ultimately that's going to provide greater mission support for the Air Force. You've probably saw this somewhat in the contracting community, but some individuals we have, they already have figured it out and they're bridging the gap between finance and data analysis. But I think it's still a lot of it's done in pockets. And I personally call them pockets of excellence. So formalizing this dual role as a dedicated position is just going to increase our positive impact and unlock the full potential of data analytics across the Air Force versus just in pockets.
No, awesome, Teresa. Yeah, I love that. Pockets of excellence. That's awesome. So here's kind of another follow-on for you. You kind of set me up with this one, but I mentioned that PK and FM collaboration earlier called that ULO tool, right? Getting after those canceled and expiring funds while we can still, you know, use them. Incredible tool. And it was really the first tool I've seen that actually linked the data from a contracting system and a finance system. Right. It uses those automated data streams. Right. Brilliant concept. Right. We can only imagine if our systems could actually speak to one another, maybe someday. But linking the data outputs from those systems is really the next best thing. And your team seemed to have cracked the code on that. So what other data type tools has your team developed or are you currently working on? Any other cross-functional collaborations that you can share?
Yes, you're right. The ULO tool was a breakthrough. It's very exciting to talk about linking contracting and finance data. That was a game changer for us. And our team was really excited to be part of that innovation. But it was just the beginning. We're really developing a lot of different tools to improve our capabilities and bringing other functions together. So just going back to the ULO tool, the power of that tool really comes from combining MOCAS and accounting system data. It helps streamline the reconciliation and significantly improves analysis of those unliquidated obligations. And by proactively looking at that, it's going to help us make more informed decisions before the funds are canceled, giving us more of that critical Air Force purchasing power. But we've also developed broader canceling funds dashboard tools encompassing all funds, not just MOCAS. This dashboard tracks expired funds over the past 5 years and identifies those at-risk ULOs. Recognizing the need for more personalized data, we've created customizable status of funds dashboards. And these dashboards, updated with near real-time, centralized, curated data, empowered organizations to tailor their insights into what they really need. And we didn't stop there. Our cross-functional collaborations, the data analytics team here at headquarters, AFMC, are also driving innovations. For example, our budget team partnered with A1 and have developed a civilian pay dashboard comparing actual expenditures with projections. Just another great example of teamwork and data sharing that's leading to powerful insights. We in FM, and I know you are in contracting as well, committed to breaking down those data silos and making information accessible and useful across all organizations.
Yeah, awesome stuff, Teresa. Yeah, thanks for bringing that together and bridging that gap. And yeah, now we can just think, okay, what other functionals can we bring in as well?
Right.
But as you mentioned, absolute breakthrough there, combining that data. Huge shout out to your team of future financial data specialists. So, awesome. So, all right, John, speaking of tools, you mentioned DATE earlier, that digital acquisition tools environment, and your article called out the PK Knowledge Board being shifted over to PMRT. So can you share some other tools that have been created by that CDS community that are considered enterprise-wide tools, you know, tools that might be available for use across the entire Department of the Air Force?
Yeah, Rob, great. This is a great segue into digital tools, right? We've discussed a bit earlier on DATE and DAFS Hub for which is really the DAFS hub for vetting, approving, and those resource tools to include AI now or some AI adjacent tools like contracting RPA bot warehouse. So as well as to avoid duplication, like you had mentioned earlier, of effort, because folks out there may not check the tools at the date site and create another tool that's just like the one that was already created. So make sure you check those out. And it's also going to drive efficiencies in our operability, and it's going to prioritize those tools. So date, you know, has what we talked about before, a lot of gold, silver, and bronze tools that's available. But since I'm limited for just a few minutes on the podcast here, let's discuss just the gold level tools, which has really received a ton of attention and praise over the last couple of years and has provided contracting folks with access to critical data focused on their specific area that they're needing to view or related to their jobs, because having that critical data at their fingertips is so very important, right? And since three of the four gold tools are located in PMRT, like you had mentioned earlier, which stands for Project Management Resource Tools, we're going to start there. So PMRT can be accessed through the date site by clicking on the gold tools icon, and then going, or you could just go into Google and type in Project Management Resource Tools and get to it that way. So either way is fine. You can get to it. But basically, once you get into that and have an account and get into PMRT and sign in, you want to click the PMRT Enterprise Analytics application, right? And that's what's going to open up a lot of these streams. And there's going to be titles of these data streams called contracting, acquisition, AFBIT, for example. So these are the different streams within PMRT. So under the contracting stream, you'll find that PK Knowledge Board tool and the ULO, or the Unliquidated Obligations tool that you spoke of earlier. And I believe the ULO tool is in a couple different locations, but that's one of them out there. So and these are just really two powerful tools that provide vital contracting data from our authoritative source of truth. Again, our ASOT, pulling directly from FPDS. So it's not that we take this data and fat finger it somehow and transfer it. It's automatically streams in from FPDS itself, which is just a wonderful addition to be able to get this data, right? So, and Rob knows that PMRT was created and or developed in AFRL, and as he's well aware of that, he was instrumental in developing that, right? And so he's not only helped develop it in AFRL, but then came up in headquarters and kind of put the cherry on top and helped get it in the PMRT into Advana. So really cool stuff. But in that tool, it provides just a wealth of contracting information, and it's filtered by MAGCOM, center, location, PEO, specific contracting office, as well as providing numerous views and other essential capabilities. It's so much, I could talk probably for the next 30 minutes just about that tool. But again, since we don't have time, I'm going to move on. So additionally, the ULO tool is another amazing tool that you talked about, and certainly FM. Right. And Karen Wright here in headquarters was the one that really was the driver behind that tool. So it was the purpose of the tool is to maximize DAF wide purchasing power through the identification of funding status and utilization of those funds prior to cancellation. Right. Just pretty straightforward. But again, a powerful tool, because there's so much wasted resources out there that we're not using that we could use before that funding is canceled. And the next gold tool in PMRT portfolio is the Air Force Business Intelligence Tool, or as we say, AFBIT. It's under its own stream there, not under contracting, but it's under AFBIT stream. And is a contract spend analysis tool that contains up to 5 years of data, which includes current data in its quarterly update, and offers contracting CLIN level details, right? It's a collection of historic contract spend data, which can be used through filtering, just like the PK Knowledge Board, to provide answers to numerous questions during the acquisition process. So great tool. Go out and look at that. And then finally, the fourth gold tool at the date site that we're going to discuss is Acquisition Pulse Pro, or as we commonly refer to as APP, right? So the APP is built in Microsoft Power Applications for a workload management, constraint-based management, communications, and reporting tool. So again, those are the top. Go check them out. And Rob, it's really just scratching the surface of many of the tools that's out there at the DATE site. But currently there's 47 tools out there, 4 are gold, 10 are silver, 12 are bronze, and 21 are honorable mention. So again, I highly recommend users to visit this site and to see those amazing tools available.
All right. Another awesome rundown, John. Thanks for that. I do want to caveat one thing that you gave me credit for creating PMRT. I had a hand in developing the PK Knowledge Board, but PMRT is a much bigger animal. But I appreciate the confidence you have in my abilities there, but just wanted to offer that correction before I start getting phone calls from the PMRT folks. So, all right, John, I know you've been waiting to talk about this one, and I know our listeners are interested. A lot of motivation behind this one. What about artificial intelligence tools and robotic process automation? Are our contract data specialists leveraging those technologies to develop tools, those tools that might maybe can reduce some of the administrative burden on the workforce?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. By now, most acquisition folks out there are probably well aware of Nipper GPT tool and possibly use it on a regular basis. If they're anything like me, they might even use it to assist in writing their weekly 5 workload bullets to the SecDef. Or, I won't go into too much on that, but it's an amazing tool and to have in our toolboxes. So definitely check that out. Another fantastic tool that's currently being developed by AFRL is called ACBOT. So ACBOT is an interactive web-based acquisition tool that interacts with AI and assists in the development of pre-award documents like the market research docs, requirements, SUE, your statement of objectives, your statement of work, your performance work statements, your request for proposals, solicitations, J&A module being developed, DNFs, et cetera. So just a great tool out there. The user can select a template, and there's a lot of templates on this site, and then input or prompt AI to assist in developing that wording that goes in that document. It really makes quick work of developing these documents. And the process can normally take hours sometimes to create these documents. ACBOT can do it in minutes. So it's really amazing to see. AFRL is updating ACBOT kind of similar to a spiral development where they take a few modules, they'll develop a module and add it to this tool. So really neat stuff. And again, they're working on that J&A module now, as far as I know, and hopefully, knock on wood, it's going to be available soon. So they can focus on specific areas like proposal evaluations. And again, I think that tool in particular is a game changer, and it's just a very powerful tool that's going to catapult our contracting or acquisition community. Additionally, Rob, I want to shine some light on the contracting robotic process automation bot warehouse. So what I commonly recall contracting RPA bot warehouse, I developed this last year to really corral many of the contracting specific developed bots out there by contracting citizen developers. And they're spread out everywhere, and I wanted to bring them to a centralized warehouse. That way, they're easily to find and leverage across the enterprise, right? And until this warehouse was created, many of these bots were hard to find, if not impossible, right? Great thing is, many of these bots are huge time savers and increase our capability, making repetitive tasks get accomplished quickly and very efficiently. So, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give a shout out to one of our contracting developers, citizen developers, Drew Fallon, who developed many of the RPA bots over the last couple of years. In particular, has developed a single bot that can run up to 15 separate bots in a sequential order, and is titled Autobots Rollout Bot. So very amazing to see. Go out to the bot warehouse. There's not only information there, but you can click on clicks and get to a guide or a video. So 14 contracting bots currently out there at the site. Again, some have videos, some have instructional guides, but in that it shows prerequisites of what's needed to prior to running these bots and really how the bot operates. So as well as the developer's contact information, which I think is important because then you can reach out to that particular individual and get additional information. But it's also got information on whether the bot is fully developed or is it still under development, and also whether it's been published to Orchestrator, which means if it's been published out there, anybody that has the UiPath software can ask access to that bot and run it. So very cool, very neat stuff. And then finally, the contracting RPA bot warehouse is a great place for new beginners to learn about RPA bots and include many links in that site about what is an RPA, UiPath software license types, request a software license, getting started with UiPath, training classes available, user responsibilities, UiPath software connection guide, how to publish the Orchestrator, tips and tricks, got a bot idea, and then additional assistance if you need any additional assistance. So many links out there, and as well as any upcoming events or bot demonstrations. So really cool site, Rob. I tried to enhance and bring all of this together in one place, and really just amazing. And hats off to, again, all these citizen developers out there. But honestly, Rob, I can go on and on about this contracting RPA bot warehouse, but recommend folks check it out for themselves. And if they have any questions, you know, reach back to me via email or IM me or whatever, and let me know, you know, what you have, and I can help you out. But again, you can get to the bot warehouse by the date site. There's a link down there close to the bottom of the page. So again, check out date, and while you're there, bookmark it. Check out the warehouse, bookmark it, and then, you know, you'll have it there for any future needs.
All right. Another great rundown, Ron. Yeah. Another great rundown there, John. Again, ton of tools out there. This RPA bot warehouse focuses on more of the artificial intelligence and the robotic process automation, but another suite of tools out there for folks to check out. So awesome stuff. So Teresa, same question. How is your team leveraging these new technologies across the finance community? Or is that maybe a future state or skill set for the financial data specialists of the future?
Yeah, thanks. So in FM, we're not just talking about the future of data and finance. We're actually building it today, trying to equip our teams with cutting edge tools if we can and the skills to unlock data's power right now, because data is what really is powering our mission. It's not just about numbers for number's sake. It's about using data as part of the accomplishing the mission to empower and accelerate everything we do. Throughout our finance community, we're putting this philosophy into action by trying to adopt new technologies, to transform how we work and deliver results. So again, not as an add-on, but just part of the way we do business. A really important step in accomplishing this has been centralizing and standardizing our financial data. So our accounting policy and operations office at SAF now provides enterprise level data to the entire FM community. We can all tap into that. And that's really what's fueling our Power BI dashboards and data flows. Having the centralized data gives everyone access to consistent, reliable information, which in turn is going to enable faster, more informed decision-making. Data environments like Faster and Advana and all the associated tools that come with that are also critical in streamlining our core financial processes. I did want to talk a little bit about RPAs and bots. So that same group, the Air Force Financial Systems Operations, actually it's a different group, the Air Force Financial Systems Operations Organization at SAF, they actually stood up an RPA team in late 2018, and that was to apply robotic process automations. We had a lot of manual repetitive tasks performed by the FM community, and this group said there's just got to be an easier way. So we have over 60 bots deployed and available for FM organizations, no cost, with even more bots currently in development. And similar to the contracting community, in addition to creating the solutions and offering these solutions to the community, the team offers training to develop automation skills for FM professionals so they can create bots and leverage RPA in their own communities. Also, with respect to artificial intelligence, we're embracing, again, the power of artificial intelligence, similar to contracting, helping us uncover hidden patterns, predict future trends, better understand stakeholder behavior. We use interactive dashboards, business intelligence platforms like Power BI, and we also are exploring applications of tools like Nipper GPT, Chat GPT, and expansion of Copilot, hopefully within the DAF 365 environment. This will help us further automate, streamline FM processes, and it's going to hopefully not take the place of our FMers, but empower them and free up their time for higher value mission focused work. So that's really what we're shooting for. Even though we're empowering our teams with all these cutting edge technologies, I really do believe that dedicated data analytics role is going to further enhance our capabilities. It's just really all about staying ahead of the curve and trying to maximize the return on our data and technology investments.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for that, Teresa. And again, great to see both communities there leveraging, you know, I would say the future, but as they say, the future is now, right?
Right.
Artificial intelligence, the chat bots, the RPAs. I mean, that's just the way we start needing to do business today. So it's great to see both communities, contracting and finance, embracing those new technologies. So awesome stuff. So John and Teresa, thank you both so much for sharing your experiences, providing us an update on the contract data specialist position, as well as insight into how the finance community is also putting data at the fingertips of users across the Air Force. So this has been a great conversation. Let me give you each your drop of the mic moment here. Let's start with Teresa. Again, I can't speak enough about that PK-FM collaboration at AFMC headquarters. It's a great relationship that's producing tremendous benefits across the Air Force by saving taxpayer dollars and increasing our buying power. So do you have any parting comments for our listeners or maybe any shout-outs to your team?
Yeah, so you scared me with the drop the mic moment. I don't know if this will be a drop the mic moment, but I did want to thank you both so much for inviting FM to be part of this podcast. The FM and the PK collaboration at AFMC has been fantastic. It's a real example of how teamwork can lead to great benefits for the Air Force. You know, we talked about the ULO tool. The PK team really took the lead in developing that tool. And we in FM were happy to contribute by translating that financial data and bringing the financial data into the tool to bridge the gap between our two worlds. We worked really closely together to figure out how to best visualize the data to make that PK-FM connection clear and provide really truly useful insights for analysis. I especially wanted to give a shout out to Lindsay Miller, George Deal, and our amazing FMCA team. Their dedication, expertise, and making sense of the data were essential to the success of the collaboration. And of course, I couldn't forget giving a huge thanks to Karen Wright and the PK team for their leadership and partnership in bringing us in. This really is the kind of collaborative spirit that makes a real difference for our Air Force, and we are really excited about all the future opportunities that we'll tackle together.
No, absolutely. Thanks, Teresa. Yeah, appreciate that. And again, we greatly value that collaboration. Awesome stuff. So, John, CDS extraordinaire and recently published author. Thanks so much for the conversation and leading the CDS charge for the past couple of years. What would you like to leave our listeners with today, John?
Yeah, thanks again, Rob. I mean, it's been a pleasure being here this morning. Really, the last few years, I've really been a big part of and witnessed a ton of change across the enterprise. And the one thing that remains constant and true to the phrase or adage, flexibility is the key to air power. And I know being flexible is tough at times, and in our current environment could be one of those times, but in order to succeed and thrive in a digital environment, we really need to remain flexible and be willing to roll with the punches, so to speak. So remaining flexible will allow us to meet those ever-changing mission requirements, and they'll also gain those efficiencies in becoming aware of and using those newly developed tools and providing that warfighter edge. So This will, in my opinion, this will increase the acquisition capabilities and also help streamline the outdated processes, which we're kind of seeing now, right? While continuing to use our ASOT, our authoritative source of truth data, to make those ever important data-driven decisions, right? So continue, for the folks out there that's listening, continue building that network of key leaders around you and work together across the aisle with the other functional leaders to ensure enterprise-wide success, right? That's how we're going to get this done. So finally, continue sharing that vital information and knowledge to ensure we meet our commitment of making this a truly digital enterprise of today, so we can become those war fighters that we need of tomorrow. Thanks again, Rob. Appreciate
it. All right. Excellent. Thank you both once again. That's a great way to close things out. On behalf of the Contracting Experience Podcast, all of our listeners and subscribers, thank you both so much for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure. And a big thank you to all of our podcast listeners, followers, and subscribers themselves. If you have any feedback, suggestions for topics, or future guests you would like to hear on the podcast, you can submit those via email to thecontractingexperience@gmail.com. As a reminder, you can subscribe to the Contracting Experience Podcast from any of your podcast listening platforms. You can also now find us on Facebook as well as our YouTube channel. Be sure to like us, follow us, and subscribe to receive updates and automatic downloads so you don't miss a single episode. I'm your host, Rob Lorton, from the AFMC Contracting Digital Division, and I hope you can join us again on our upcoming episodes. Until then, stay tuned and stay connected.